Welcome to Skills of the Future, a podcast by Perennial Talent. In this mini-series, we explore the skills and competencies needed to face the new realities of work.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our podcast, Skills of the Future, and our mini-series on HR Game Changers, Skills and Competencies Needed to Face the New Realities of Work. My name is Andrea Butler, and I'm a principal consultant and co-founder at Perennial Talent. Today, my guest is Casey Walters. Casey joined Northern Trust in 2015 and is a global leader for professional development. She's 20 years of experience in the field of learning, organizational development, as well as knowledge management. Casey manages a global team and is responsible for leading a global corporate university, along with driving reskilling and upskilling strategies for the enterprise. She also manages global onboarding efforts, as well as aligns professional education, certifications, and career development programs to provide internal development opportunities. Prior to her time at Northern Trust, she spent her career leading learning and development, knowledge management, and communication teams for Foresight Technology, Hewitt Associates, and General Growth Properties. Casey also writes a weekly blog called Corporate Safari, which you can find at www.corporatesafari.com, which is focused on self-management and people management topics. She has also published several articles in training industry magazines on mentoring and knowledge management. She speaks on this topic as well at multiple talent management events every year. She is very passionate about ensuring people have the skills, tools, and desired culture they need to work effectively as well as collaboratively and ultimately stay engaged. Welcome, Casey.
Great. Thank you so much. I'm very happy to be here.
Perfect. Well, let's start with our fun icebreaker question. What's the best thing that you have watched or read lately?
Yeah, well, probably like yourself, I've certainly watched and read a lot lately. The thing that I have picked back up again is a platform called Masterclass, and I'm not sure if you're familiar with that, but they have solicited and interviewed a number of experts to train you on their craft. So they've tapped Steve Martin to teach you how to do comedy. They've tapped Jane Goodall to talk about conservation topics, or Gordon Ramsay to teach you how to cook. So I'm actually now listening to Malcolm Gladwell talk about writing. And he really dissects how he approaches his research and how he structures his articles to be engaging. And I'm just getting into that now, and I love his work, and I'm really hoping to grab some nuggets about storytelling from him and hope to kind of bring that to my personal and professional life. So I'm really excited to engage with that.
Oh, interesting. I'll have to check that out. It definitely ties to when we write our own blogs.
Yes, it does.
Story, yeah.
Yes.
Perfect. Well, let's jump in then to some of our more on-topic questions then. So how would you say, from your perspective, you think the world of work has changed? And what do you think the impact has been of more employees working remotely?
Yeah, you know, I think the world of work was already changing. For years we've been hearing about the gig economy and being more project-based and team-based and adopting agile methodologies, and even companies kind of trying out flexible working schedules or remote working schedules. But I really think COVID has simply accelerated all of that. So some colleagues, you know, who are never able to work from home suddenly are. I think companies, you know, are scrambling to look at their policies as well to see how we can, you know, support people who are working remotely. I think not being able to commute to an office every day and walk down the hallway to talk to your colleague has really changed the way that we work today. And I think global companies, we're very used to this. I mean, I personally have a global team, so I have managed people in Singapore and in India. So therefore, we had to be remote and connect virtually. But I think a lot of managers are experiencing for the first time how to do that. And to engage and manage people virtually is a little bit differently. It's a little bit different than, you know, again, being able to walk down the hallway or up another floor just to connect with somebody face to face. but we are transitioning just a ton of processes that, again, used to be shoulder to shoulder. And now we're kind of trying to do that living room to living room. And it's a very different way of working. And I think in terms of how that's impacted employees, I have just seen this bubble up in many ways. I think I've seen the gamut from everybody who is very productive working from home, and they don't know how to set boundaries. So we used to have that commute, you know, as a physical break in terms of our workday, either at the beginning or at the end. That's now gone. So helping people find ways to set boundaries and know when to cut the cord so that you're not working from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. But I've seen it go all the way to the other end of the gamut where people are having a hard time focusing. They may have young children at home or pets that are insistent on being next to them when they're on virtual meetings. And it's hard to focus and find, you know, quiet time and quiet places to be productive. And then I've also seen team members who live by themselves and they really thrive on physical, you know, and face-to-face interaction with people. So they're kind of combating loneliness sometimes. So I think all of this was starting to go this way, but really got accelerated, unfortunately, when the pandemic hit and forced us to all be separate and be in our homes. So I think there's been a tremendous acceleration of how do we work virtually and how are we remaining productive and focused and engaged and mentally well, you know, while we're isolated in our homes.
Absolutely. And as you think more about the talent cycle and certainly from your perspective, learning and development, what do you think has been the biggest change in terms of, you know, we are virtual. So what's been the biggest change there for employees?
Yeah, when I think of the talent life cycle, I can't think of a piece that hasn't been impacted in some way. The one I see the most is onboarding. That's something that I have responsibility for. I mean, we continue to hire new people as are other companies. The job market is actually not that bad right now. But, you know, it used to be day one, you showed up at an office, you shook hands with somebody, you got your desk, you had lunch with your team, you know, you were able to see your manager and meet other people. And that has simply been taken away. So how we onboard new hires has dramatically changed, and it's changed everything from getting our IT processes in order, you know, so that we can ship them laptops and set them up for success just from an equipment standpoint, but also really having the team, you know, hyper aware and hyper connected to that new hire virtually by turning on cameras and checking in with them every day has become even more important. We've also looked at, you know, when you're a new hire, you tend to connect more to the culture by being, again, in an office. So connecting that new hire to what the culture is like has been something that, you know, I think is missing and something that we've been working on to get more and more storytelling happening virtually so that people can see, you know, how people interact with one another, what's been done, how did they do it, and that gives them a good sense of culture as well. But that's definitely a piece that's been impacted quite a bit with our current circumstance.
It's interesting that you're talking about the organizational culture piece. So you mentioned mm-hmm. that you're doing more storytelling. Can you mm-hmm. go into a bit more detail in what you've been doing there?
Yeah, it's something we haven't done yet, but it's certainly something I am proposing that we do. So we are trying to have more and more virtual conversations, I would say, about various topics. And that's, you know, everything from just understanding, you know, the new world of, you know, embracing business technology and artificial intelligence and things that are coming our way, or rather that are here that we need to understand better. But also just in terms of, you know, trying to connect leaders to new hires to talk about, you know, either their experience at Northern Trust or how they would describe the culture, or be able to, you know, tell stories about how decisions are made or proud achievements that they've had. That just helps connect new hires you know, to who we are as an organization. And it's not something we've instituted yet, but it's certainly something that I've proposed that we try to institute, at least, you know, starting in Q1, hopefully. Because I think through stories is a great way to connect people to the culture of an organization, because it's very hard to see that, you know, when you're really not interacting with people on a daily basis.
Right. Building on what you're talking about, culture, have you been looking into competencies or at all that might help make that connection in terms of, you know, linking values to competencies?
Yeah, that's a great question. We are looking at competencies. We have behaviors that we pride ourselves on, and those are certainly communicated. And, you know, again, I hope we can bring those to life through stories of how you would see those behaviors being executed within the organization. I think that's something that we will definitely take up. I think today the competencies that are really important and have always been important, but again, I think have just become even more so during our times, are things like having resilience, being able to problem solve, being able to think critically. I think we're making decisions differently today. We need to certainly solve problems today that we perhaps have never encountered before. And we focused a lot on self-effectiveness, whether that means emotional intelligence and resilience. These are areas that we are actually upskilling our organization on, and feel that they're pretty important to stay, you know, active and productive and engaged today. These are the spaces that we think, you know, we really need to focus on within the organization.
Are there any particular roles in the organization where you think that these more self-effective, like you mentioned, emotional intelligence, resilience are especially important?
I think they're important for almost everybody. I do think for people who have thrived within a team and, you know, get a lot of energy and engagement from being with that team, if that's no longer the case, I do think that becomes extremely important. You know, I think the people who might be a little bit more senior in their roles, they might be used to, you know, leading efforts or working independently, probably not so much, but I do think about, you know, more junior level employees and help keeping them engaged and, you know, doing their job well and helping them figure out how to connect with people virtually is something that we, you know, are certainly focused on. And I think that level of audience could really benefit and have been benefiting, you know, from some of these skill development sessions that we've been running.
And that makes a great segue. So you said you're, you know, doing these skills development segments. What else is your organization, or what else do you think organizations can do to make sure they're developing these skills right now?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. We certainly have converted all of our in-person training to be virtual. And we are looking more and more, you know, how do we make this engaging? So yes, it might be a live 90-minute class, but are there also exercises we can give people or try to help them understand how to have the experiences or apply these skills on the job? And that's something that I've really been thinking about. I think the role of the manager here is really important. You know, we have always encouraged that managers have, you know, development conversation with their teams, but this becomes, you know, even more critical that employees can take training or engage in something self-paced or live with the group and then figure out how to apply that back on the job. And I think those experiences and opportunities and working, you know, having an employee work with their manager is very critical today, especially when you're not able to go to a classroom and maybe even have an instructor help you with some of that. That role and that relationship as it relates to learning and development becomes even more critical.
Absolutely. And if you think out to the future a little bit, what do you think organizations can do to make sure, looking ahead, that employees have the right skills and competencies needed for success?
Yeah, I think what I'm seeing is that we need to get creative in the way that we're providing education and development opportunities. you know, it used to be that maybe a company would provide tuition reimbursement. So if you want to go get your degree, you know, you could certainly do that. And then, you know, we have a swath of maybe online learning or again, live, in this case, virtual learning for you to take advantage of. I think there's just a lot of opportunities out there as even higher education starts to reinvent themselves a little bit in terms of what they might offer companies in terms of certificates or one-off classes or things of that nature. I believe internal learning and development departments are getting a lot more creative on partnerships that they can build with even, you know, platforms like Coursera or again, universities or other vendors to help fill some of these gaps, because we certainly can't be experts in all of these areas as new skills and competencies are becoming, you know, vital every day. I think it's just really important to try to find those partners that can help you provide, you know, the right education opportunities, you know, for your employee base.
And what do you think are the future threats or pain points if an organization does not take the time to clearly define, you know, those skills or competencies needed for success?
Yeah, I think very clearly we're seeing that we used to think that, well, technology was IT's job. It's not. It's everybody's job. So just being in the business world, being smart on those concepts, can only strengthen an organization. And I think identifying, you know, what skills matter to a company and providing those development opportunities is really critical. You know, I've heard several people outside my organization, you know, talk about, well, you know, people are kind of sitting still today and, you know, nobody's going to make a job change. And I disagree with that. I think talented people always have options. And so focusing on the skill development, the critical skills, helping people see what skills are needed so they even know what to develop, because sometimes that's a issue for employees, can only lead to, you know, engagement of them and hopefully retention of them, because I think people become even more important today, you know, who your workforce is, keeping them engaged and productive and, you know, focused on the future is only going to help a company, you know, remain successful. So I think more than ever, focusing on development opportunities and career paths and enabling internal mobility, this is the right time to focus on all of that, because there still is a war for talent, especially in some of these tech skills that I mentioned. And so, you know, being able to develop your people internally will only make the company stronger.
Absolutely. And so if you were talking to anyone who, you know, might be starting on out on a competency or a skills-based project, do you have any advice?
Yeah, I think my one piece of advice is I really don't think you need to start from scratch on something like that. There are a lot of different models that exist in the universe that you can either download for free or engage a company to help you. I think people have tried to tackle this in the past, and I think it's helpful to, you know, find a starting point so that you don't have to start with a blank sheet of paper. But I also would say it must match the culture. So I think, you know, in previous lives, I've implemented competency models that had lots of levels of proficiency, and they almost collapsed under their own weight because they were just too complicated and people didn't really understand them. So I think keeping them aligned to values, behaviors, things you really want to see within a role, make a lot of sense. Keep it as simple as possible, but definitely don't start from a blank sheet of paper. There's plenty of sample models out there that you can take and build from. I would also recommend working very closely with the business on this. I mean, they know what they want their people to do. And so, you know, kind of validating and vetting what types of competencies might be required for a certain role is something that I have found valuable as well, to get them involved in a vetting process.
Absolutely. You couldn't see me, but I was nodding my head throughout.
Great. Yeah, competencies are a good thing and they're necessary. I guess the other thing I would say is, you know, once you have created a model, integrate it into, we talked about the talent lifecycle, ensure that it's integrated into your hiring practices, performance management practices, maybe even your promotion criteria. You can certainly hang learning and development or learning paths off of that. The more that it's integrated, the more that it will become meaningful, you know, to the people within the organization.
Absolutely. So that was all the questions I had for you today. Was there anything else that you wanted to add before we close?
Well, I think I've definitely enjoyed our conversation, and I just think there's a lot that companies can do to support their people in this environment. You know, we've started to work on well-being initiatives again long before COVID hit, but I just think more than ever, focusing on financial well-being, mental well-being, physical well-being, we bring our whole selves to work. And however companies and managers can help support their employees during this time is going to be critical to keep them productive, engaged, and, you know, and in feeling great about what they're doing.
Absolutely.
So I can't think of anything more important than that, honestly.
Yeah, and to set them up for success in this very evolving world of work.
That's right.
We find ourselves in now.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. So I want to thank our guest today, Casey, for joining me. And if you would like to follow her or learn a bit more, you can reach out to her directly on LinkedIn. And you can also check out her weekly blog, which is, again, corporatesafari.com. Thanks very much for joining me today, Casey.
Well, thank you very much. I loved our conversation. Thanks.